Hello and welcome to the hearing. I'm John.
And from Chicago's North Side, I'm Scott.
And without any further ado, on to this week's album, which is from 2003, Ghetto Pop Life by Danger Mouse and Gemini the Gifted One. Danger Mouse is an American musician, songwriter, and record producer who came to prominence in 2004 when he released The Gray Album, which combined vocal performances from Jay-Z's The Black Album with instrumentals from The Beatles' The White Album. He's also known for being half of Gnarls Barkley with CeeLo Green, Broken Bells with James Mercer from indie rock band The Shins, and Danger Doom with rapper MF Doom. He really likes duos, apparently.
Yes.
His production credits include Gorillaz, Beck, The Black Keys, and Adele, which surprised me.
Yeah.
Gemini the Gifted One is a rapper from Brooklyn, New York, who is best known for collaborating with Danger Mouse on the album Ghetto Pop Life, which was released on September 9th, 2003 by Lex Records. The album was produced by Danger Mouse and features Gemini the Gifted One on vocals, Danger Mouse on production, and some features which we'll get to when we get to them. Reminder, I don't edit any songs into our episodes for copyright reasons, but on our blog at johnscott.com, you'll find links to Ghetto Pop Life on Spotify and YouTube so you can follow along if you'd like. Onto the tracks, track one, Born a MC. I think I hear a sample from Psycho in this one.
And you know, I didn't notice this until your intro to this album that Danger Mouse's name is first.
Yeah.
Which is kind of something because I don't think he was really known.
No, I noticed that as I was reading, actually. 2004 was the Gray Album, a year after this.
Right. Yeah, when the Gray Album came out. And by the way, if you've never listened to the Gray Album, my God, I mean, he uses like Helter Skelter and nice. Revolution Number 9.
You gotta check it just out.
Crazy things to put in with Jay-Z's Black Album.
I think it's the same sample from Psycho or a very similar one that Busta Rhymes had used, I think a little before this. But it really works but doesn't work. Which is a lot of this album. Or doesn't, shouldn't work, but it works. I'll put it that way.
It's kind of a catchy intro. It just gets in and out. Kind of a mission statement for the album. I think Gemini's flow, it's probably some of the best work he did on the album right here, just to get you in.
I like the stuttering drums, nice reverb on the vocal, some interesting harmonies and vocal layering. Like different takes recorded separately, kind of layered over top of each other.
And yeah, there isn't a doubt that Danger Mouse's name should be first on this because he is the star of this, even
it's
though...
It's all in the production.
Yes.
I mean, right. I really like Gemini's rapping. He's got a really interesting sound.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's a Danger Mouse production.
Right. And I think I hadn't really noticed this until listening to this album this week, that he is just as vocal as Gemini, even though he doesn't say anything. And it kind of put into a new light of some of the samples he uses and how it goes with what, either with or against what Gemini's actually saying in the song. I don't think I'd ever really noticed that until then.
On to track two, Ghetto Pop Life intro. This is just a choral thing with some really interesting harmonies. It's a minute nine.
This probably was one of the funniest songs of the album.
Yeah, it's literally just a chorus.
Yes,
like singing, a choir. That's
giving it's just good wood.
Yeah, that's it. That's what they're singing. Oh wow!
It's like the part of the chorus of Ghetto Pop Life, only it's a chorus.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Wow. Obviously, Danger Mouse arranged.
Yeah, of course. On to track three, Ghetto Pop Life. Great groove, like the guitar sample. Danger Mouse really likes to sample guitar.
Oh, yeah. It seems like a little bit of Gangster's Paradise in here. But it feels like they're taking that to a much greater extreme than what Coolio is doing.
And I really like Gemini's voice. I'm kind of surprised he didn't get bigger.
I was thinking that the whole time, too. Like, how... This is the last thing... Like, if you look at Danger Mouse's Wikipedia... Not Danger Mouse. Gemini's Wikipedia, It's this, and then I forgot what happened in 06. There, some other rapper came out trying to use the name Gemini, and he sued, and that was it.
Oh,
That's all we've heard.
probably cost all his money for the suit.
Yeah, I think he won.
Oh, well, still
Like
going
the
to be
guy had to
expensive.
change his name to Gemstone.
But yeah, he deserves to be bigger. Also, like the harmonies in the chorus, the layered vocals on the last verse. And I, assuming all of the vocals on this are Gemini, he's got a really impressive variety.
He does, and I didn't really take him into account when I was into this back in the day as much as I do now to see, the different tones he uses throughout this. But yeah, this track definitely.
On to track four, Omega Supreme. This was almost mythic for favorite. Nice sudden change from the last track. Again, another great guitar sample. I like how the timing changes going into the first chorus, and how the track just keeps changing. On a lot of songs, it just the track evolves with as it goes, so it keeps it from getting boring.
This funky guitar loop he's got of there for it's like either Western or Latinx.
Nice
And
spot for a spoken sample too, which he doesn't do too much of, which is good.
I swear, not really thinking about this until this week, the chorus is how, all of these nicknames and all of these this praise he has for himself, this chest puffing. And of course, he ends each of it with "What the fuck is this conceited bastard?"
And I love the his headlong rap style in this one. Like he's almost way ahead of the beat, but it still works rhythmically.
Some of the lines, I've always loved, leading in the trenches versus, you lead by flukes and coincidences. Just what an odd turn of phrase. And speaking of odd, the outro is one of the weird outros. There's a number of weird outros of this album.
They put a telephone, what I'm thinking is like a telephone effect or something like that
Yeah.
on it, for the musicians. It sounds like it's out of phase, on his vocal. And then he takes a shot at Kid Rock, which I loved.
He starts doing bop to bop as they fade out on it, but not long enough to actually be copyrighted.
Track five, What You Sitting On, featuring the Licks. Love the piano sample. Nice bass sound, great groove.
I love they found someone saying badass in the least badass way possible. And then just repeats it over and over again for like 10 seconds.
This is another one where the vocals nicely overlaps, like one line starts before the line before it ends. Great layered vocals in the chorus. Nice contrast when the feature comes in. I always like to hear a very different voice in the feature.
Right, this is one of the first duets on the album, like actual duets, where the Licks. I'm not sure. I'm not familiar with the people that were
Same.
in on this with them. What's the Danger Mouse is using some chords that sound really familiar. Like, I don't know if it's taken from Rocky or Alan Parsons' project, that Eye in the
Okay.
Sky
Something of
intro,
that nature. Yeah.
during the verse as he's like lifting it up.
Oh, okay, yes, I think I know what you're talking about. Yeah, it's that quick kind of proggy keyboard thing, yeah.
Right, and it's just this this really strange thing.
And there's an interesting combination of samples at the end.
The outro again, it's another thing. I don't know if it's Danger Mouse trolling again after all, like the chest puffing. It's this thing about how they're broke.
Track six, the only one. Don't have much to say about this one. It's kind of one level, but another great guitar sample. Like the high vocal sample. Nice groove.
Yeah, it's a good pop song. I love the sped up soul during the chorus, and then that funky music during the verses. But yeah, there isn't much to say about it.
Track seven, Taking Care of Business, featuring J-Zone. The keyboard sample nicely, like rhythmically, contrasts with the drum sample, like the sparse arrangement. Nice contrast in the vocal. It's a back and forth and not just like a verse of for a feature. J-Zone is on the whole track.
Yeah, I don't remember this one from back in the day. I mean, I haven't listened to this one probably in a good 8 or 9 years, I'm thinking. Mm-hmm. Maybe about 8 years. And, you know, it's not bad. The keys he's using are really interesting. This time he didn't do it with the chorus either, which is kind of unusual because every other album's more song in the album's more traditional.
Right. It does get a bit monotonous for that reason, I think.
But the actual variety comes from just having the duet in the different voices.
Track 8, That Brooklyn Shit. Nice stuttering groove, like what I'm describing as a 70s movie sample, because it sounds like something out of like Shaft or one of those movies.
I like how they led into this from the other one. Mm. They just went straight into it.
Yeah. I also like how he mixes in some kind of Middle Eastern sounding samples.
Right. I think, you know, it gives Gemini's rapping this epic vibe, the music that he puts into it. Would it have been better if Medieval came out of left field later on if they hadn't done this here? But, you know, this isn't as extreme a mix.
This was kind of the appetizer for Medieval, I think.
Yes, yes. The rap, the vocals and the music work differently from the two, though. Like this one, it builds with his rapping. Like he's aggressively rapping and the classical music is building it up.
Right.
And it's an interesting contrast because they're both building each other up at the same time, yet one's aggressive and one is kind of lighter. And then it leads to this weird little jazzy outro. but it was a cool jazzy outro.
Track 9, Yoo-Hoo. Love the opening, how a man will fuck a snake. You just got to remove the teeth.
This would be a dull song if it wasn't for Danger Mouse here.
Love the organ sample. Nice catchy chorus. Nice use of auto-tune. You know, it's just there, just enough to notice without getting irritating.
Oh, yeah, yeah, because because it's probably one of them singing as a woman.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's probably, so that's why they would auto-tune that. That would make perfect sense if that would be auto-tuned.
Track 10, Copycats, like the what I'm calling an orchestral sample. It's hard to describe some of the samples he uses.
Yeah.
Great drum sound, like the harmonies before the verse, like how the timing changes during the verse. Gotta call them out for using the R word, not okay.
It was almost my pick for weakest just because of that.
Yeah. I considered it, but then the ballad happened.
Yes. Yeah, I think we're on the same page here. You know, despite that, though, it's kind of a fun song. It's very whimsical, lines like hot like Cajun.
There was enough about it to like for me not to pick it for weakest for that, but I still had to call him out for it.
It's so strange because that's only, you know, what's this, 19 years ago? Mm-hmm. And that was actually a technical term at the time.
Yeah, but it was still a slur because, and I'm actually thinking back, this was 2003. We started the Tuesday Afternoon Show in 2005, and in our first year, you had a story time involving that word.
Yes, yes.
So 2 years later, we knew it was a slur and not okay. So they had, it probably knew in 2003.
Like even when I made that discovery that it was a technical term, that was the point. It was like, wait, what? Even like late 90s, early 2000s.
Right.
You're really, this is a technical medical term. Mm.
Yeah. But they weren't using it in that context, so not okay.
Yeah.
Track 11, Don't Do Drugs. Sarcastic title.
Yes.
This one's really repetitive, not much to it, though the opening did remind me of Public Enemy.
Right. And, you know, I hadn't thought of Public Enemy until I saw someone else mention them in some of the critical reviews of the time.
And it does use some nice, what I'm calling, like, old movie samples. Like 40s, 30s kind of movie jazz.
That's what keeps this one interesting, that old school jazz going underneath it. And this is the one that really makes you think of Danger Mouse's role in this album, where he's pretty much having a duet with Gemini.
Right, right.
Only in the form of that take my advice and try one thing.
Track 12, Medieval, this featuring The Far Side. This is my pick for favorite.
Yeah, this is obviously the strongest track. And
Are we going to have the same strongest and weakest this week? That's unusual. Love the vocal sample. Love the bass sound. Great groove. Good piano samples. He picks some really good piano bits. Nice harmonies in the chorus. Like the stuttery timing in the last verse. I was so caught up in the track that I didn't even notice the feature happening until the name drop.
I mean, there's a fucking Holy Grail reference in there too. I mean, Danger Mouse just goes nuts on this one with so many different sound effects and stuff. The drawbridge sound, the thing.
Yeah.
But yeah, someone singing Camelot in the background.
Track 13, Bush Boys. I had to double check the year. I'd forgotten it was 2003 because they're referencing Bush Senior. Well, it was about Bush Junior, but there was a sample from Bush Senior at the beginning.
Pretty much, you know, pointing out how they're one of the same. And
yeah,
this is a surprise even to someone that's listened to this so many times because it's dead serious political commentary. Oh, yeah.
This one and the next one both are.
After such like zany, you know, medieval. Although if you think about it, medieval kind of could be very subversive too. Like they're taking us back to what that means, and but of course it's so goofy. And then you get this where it's
dead serious.
He also talked about being capitalist earlier in the album too, because you know he wants his money, Gemini.
And then another thing, a rant about the Bushes. Nice Middle Eastern sample in this one. Great groove. All I could think was, if only we knew back then.
Right. The whole Middle Eastern sample first seems like a little strange that they're using it. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, it almost seems a little out of place until the end section. The crazy bombing of kids.
Catchy chorus, liked the stop hammer time.
Yes. Still
in a very different context.
Still room for a joke.
Yeah.
But yeah, in that context.
And love the synth part at the end. Track 14, here we go again. Great bass part, great groove, love another great guitar sample. Quoting a line, the beginning I loved. Do you ever wonder what it would be like to see the world through the eyes of the disenfranchised?
Yeah.
As someone who is, I loved that.
War on drugs, no end zone, a poppy field.
Although later on it says Democrat, or Republican and Democrat really the same. A reasonable sentiment in 2003. We've learned since then.
Yeah, I don't even know if it was that reasonable in 03, honestly, but that's a different story.
Uh-huh. It was fairly reasonable. I mean, was a hair of breath at the time. The last song
about the Iraq reference would not have happened had certain parties not been in power.
Mm-hmm.
But that's just...
Right.
That's another thing.
Track 15, I Am a Doomy, I'm guessing on that pronunciation. Subtitle, love letter. This is my pick for weakest. It's
the same.
It's the requisite ballad, and hip-hop ballads might even be more annoying than rock ballads.
I mean, an entire song about not being able to keep his nut on hold.
Yeah.
His words.
I do like the drum part. It's got a good groove. I like the bass sound. It's got some nice harmonies, but it's... Well, as you often say on a rock album, it's the ballad.
Yeah. Yeah, that's not what we're here for.
No.
But it showed he had this other range of being able to sing. I think his voice and the music wasn't the problem of this. It's just that it exists.
Yeah, it's a ballad. That's the problem. He pulled it off nicely, but it's a ballad.
If this were an Adele album, I'd say, wow, that was different. That was interesting.
The last time I was this disappointed by a piece of music was Home Sweet Home.
Oh,
I'll put it that way, which was like the prototypical power ballad.
Yeah.
So that's why that one stuck out as being, you know, particularly disappointing. And finally, track 16, Knuckle Sandwich. Great groove. I loved the jazz trumpet and flute sample. like how the timing shifts a little, but it just doesn't quite get enough. It's a little repetitive, but at least it's short. I think This is a snippet that like just needed a little more development. It's, you know, 2:07.
And it's odd to end the album with it. There's so many stronger tracks on the album that would have made it the interesting. Honestly, Medieval should have been the end, the last track.
Yeah.
Like if they put Medieval here, I think it would just be like a, wow, what the fuck was that?
You know? I think the fact that it wasn't the ballad bought it some points for me.
Yes. Or end it with Bush Boys.
Yeah.
Because that just leaving you with that bombing of the kids sound at the end was just like, whoa.
So do you recommend it?
You know, I wasn't sure if this was going to hold up because I hadn't listened to it in so long. But yeah, it's a lot of fun. I would definitely come back for more.
Yeah, I recommend it too. It gets a little repetitive in the middle, but there's enough that's really interesting, particularly on Danger Mouse's part, to make it worth it.
Yeah, and definitely check out, especially if you're familiar with both of the source materials, the fact that he pulled off the Grey album.
Right.
From what I understand, and at least that's just what everybody says, that Paul liked it, Ringo liked it, Jay-Z liked it, but there's some bad record executive the ones that own the rights to the Beatles or something,
right,
that said no. Mm-hmm. And that's why it's an unofficial release that you can only get on YouTube.
Okay. Didn't know that. That's interesting.
But yeah, he did this without anybody's permission.
Ooh, that's dangerous.
Yes. I mean, he was just a club DJ, from what I understand. And I think, you know, Gemini really liked what he was doing and teamed up. And then this led to Gnarls after this.
Right. Yeah, that was like 2005, I think.
Yeah.
And that's it for Ghetto Pop Life. Until 3 weeks from now, when we'll be revealing Gorilla's debut self-titled album. Thought about it for a minute, like, because I know Digirath produced Demon Days, maybe switching it, but I'd rather stick with the first one.
Yeah.
Until then, of course, always remember, never forget, wherever you go in life, there you are.
There you are.